let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. How many times have you looked in the mirror and frowned at the outfit you're wearing? Or thought twice about eating dessert because, well, it's bad food, even though it's not? Well, definitely a few, because we're all human, after all. But it's important to take stock of the things you say and do when the kids are around, and do your best to present yourself as a strong, confident parent or caretaker. Today, our guest, holistic health and lifestyle expert Susan Smith-Jones, Ph.D., will offer some of the best and down-to-earth parenting tips to help boost self-esteem in children and help with all kinds of picky eaters. What she talks about today may also apply to you. Dr. Susan, welcome to the program. Great topic. Looking forward to our conversation.
Well, I am too. This is a new topic for us, although for decades I've worked with kids and parents and family about these topics of self-esteem and body positivity and picky eaters. So, and like you just said, it's not always the kids and toddlers that are picky eaters. I've known many adults that have food issues. So I want to make it as practical as possible with you today.
A great topic and important topic. And let's start off with the first part, the topic of kids' self-confidence. Then in part two, we'll move on to picky eaters and how to navigate and handle this behavior. So where do kids learn about self-image, and what role do parents play in that?
Yes, and this is a good place to start, and probably no surprise to anyone that kids learn about body positivity and self-confidence from, guess who, their parents, long before they internalize perceived ideals of how they should look on YouTube or social media. And if they have a strong foundation of self-esteem, those messages will have far less of an impact when they do inevitably encounter them.
That's interesting, and this is such a fascinating topic. Some more information, by the way, if you go to Dr. Susan's website, which is very simple, susansmithjones.com. That makes so much sense what you were talking about, and so important for parents to understand that. Let's go through your 9 things to say and believe about yourself in front of your kids, so you can help them learn to take pride in who they are. And I know you've been teaching, as you mentioned, these positive tips around the world for decades with great success. Go through that list of items that we all should implement in our lives.
Yes, yes. And whether, you know, this is for you, for your life, or to help the kids with body positivity and self-confidence. So one would be these 4 magic words. Remember, I look nice today. Say it when you're tired. Say it when you feel maybe a cold coming on. Say it when you haven't showered, hopefully not in a few days. But little ones learn by example, and if they hear you speaking positively about yourself, it becomes second nature to do the same. Projecting self-confidence shows worthiness, despite the negative messaging that bombards us all daily. So I look nice today would be one.
How about... Yeah, go ahead. Start on the second one is so important here for adults as well as children.
Okay, and another phrase, maybe you say, that was challenging and I'm going to try again. Showing you're okay with failure helps kids develop the tools necessary for dealing with disappointment, and that's just part of life. And it might be handy, this is what I do from time to time, even working with adults, to have a list of people who have failed before finding success. I keep that on hand. Actually, I have them memorized. I'll say to someone, you know, especially adults, think Albert Einstein. Taylor Swift would be a good one. Michael Jordan, Steven Spielberg, J.K. Rowling, Walt Disney, Oprah, Lincoln, and Thomas Edison. Because there's nothing wrong with failing. That's just part of life. It's just important to get up and try again. You never give up.
We're talking on the program today with Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. We're talking about parenting tips to make your life easier, building kids' self-esteem. And in a few seconds, we'll be talking about dealing with picky eaters. Back to the list, what are some of the other things that we should be saying to ourselves with the kids around or saying to the kids directly?
Yes. Now, I'll go through the next three with you.
Okay.
One would be, admit this, I made a mistake. See, it might be one of the hardest things to do, but admitting
yes.
when we are wrong, right, yeah, is one of the best ways to show and teach personal responsibility. And that's a life skill that everybody needs. And the next would be a good phrase, food keeps me healthy and happy. And how you talk about food with kids has a major impact on how they look at their bodies and their health. And if you practice what I call food neutrality, like broccoli is broccoli, a cookie is a cookie, nothing is good or bad, it will help set the stage for kids to learn the balance of fueling the body and enjoy the pleasures of the food itself. And one more would be, I am proud of my job. Now, whether you're a stay-at-home parent, you work remotely, or you head out to a job, always show pride in what you do. Talking about what you do all day shows the kids that while you might be busy, it's for a very good reason, not because you don't want to read their favorite book, Joy and the Butterfly, for a 10th time. So be proud of your job and let the kids know that.
That's so important, and so all of these are things that we as parents should remember to talk about in front of our kids or even our grandkids, parenting tips to make your life easier. On the list, you've got four more items. They're all equally important. What's next on the list?
Yes, and by the way, Joy and the Butterfly is my children's trilogy series, books for young kids all about good values and the magic of ordinary days and kindness and gratitude, a wonderful book series for kids. All right, next would be, I'm glad my body protects me and keeps me alive every day. Well, you can change the words to work for the age of the kids, but we can kick a soccer ball, we can push a swing, we can play a board game, and we can do it all without being the exact quote-unquote right size. Referring to your body as something you use as a tool for life is key to helping kids develop a very positive self-image. And here's another one that's important is, this outfit makes me feel beautiful. Right now, everyone listening here, raise your hand if you found yourself cursing while trying on clothes because something didn't look quite right. So, and my hand just went up.
Well, mine too. A lot of hands, I think, have gone up. I hope you're not driving, so we'll give you the escape clause if you're driving. But we all have gone through that. It's like, why did I choose this? Why did I buy it in the first place?
I know, and we've got to remember on the steering wheel 10 and 2, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so try focusing on things you like about what you're wearing, like this color complements my skin tone, or these leggings are perfect for our park play date, or this hat makes me stand out in a crowd. So pointing out the good instead of the bad is a way to encourage self-love and confidence. And one more would be, I like this one, of course, I enjoy exercising because it makes me feel strong. Moving our bodies is so much more than losing weight. It's about how exercise is good for our brain, helps us ward off illness, and prolongs our lifespan, like you and I have talked about countless times together. And in today's technology-driven culture, driving home these ideas is more important than ever.
All of this and so much more, Dr. Susan's website, SusanSmithJones.com. Dr. Susan, also the author of many books on holistic health and optimum vitality, including her latest two celebrated companion books, newly released, A Hug in a Mug, revitalized with fruits, veggies, juices, soups, spices, teas, and healthy living extras. And, of course, a book we've talked about many times on the program, Uplifted, 12 Minutes to More Joy, Faith, Peace, Kindness, and Vitality. All of this on Dr. Susan's website, SusanSmithJones.com. Let's talk a little bit now in part two, talking about, well, have you finished up on part one? Let's talk about failure.
There's one more that comes to mind, and that is, and this is a very good one too, remember, I believe every day is a new chance to start over.
Yes.
See, it's easy, isn't it, to let negative thoughts rule our mindset. And okay, yes, life is tough, but it's also beautiful, and we only get one of it. So a wonderful gift or tool you can give your kids is the ability to look at the present and the future and understand that everything moves forward. We alone can make change for ourselves, even if it's something as tiny as writing down notes of gratitude before you go to bed at night, or as big as demanding the help you need that's so often difficult for people.
I was so excited to get to Picky Eaters, I forgot one, and that's very important. That's like rebooting every day. We have a chance to reboot and start over, and all of those, such great advice. And again, you'll find all of this in Dr. Susan's newsletter, for example, on her website, SusanSmithJones.com. Let's move on now to how parents, grandparents, and others we might want to deal with and hopefully prevent kids from becoming picky eaters. A common sense issue comes up for families all the time, doesn't it? Because you deal with parents that are facing these issues.
Well, definitely, and this is for everyone of all ages. Now, have you ever seen a panic-stricken face of a baby who just tried a new food for the first time?
Oh,
maybe
yes.
One that has lots of lemon juice in it.
So, yep.
Exactly. But it's actually so cute to watch, I think. Starting solids can be a very wild ride, but for all the ups and downs and kitchen floors splattered, painted with food, parents are treated to their own bout of panic when their happy-eating baby transforms into a picky toddler. And by the way, so many of them do worldwide, not just here in America. I think a real housewives reunion has nothing on the drama of trying to get your picky preschooler to even eat foods that have touched one another. So it's completely normal for kids to exhibit picky eating behaviors, especially when they start preschool and begin to observe others. And unless there's an underlying health concern, it usually will resolve over time. But still, there are things that we can do to help and other things that make picky eating even worse.
Well, I want to pick up with that. We have to take a break here. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the common mistakes and looking through some of the mistakes. And I've seen this on Dr. Susan's website, in her newsletters, in her books, as she talks about these. These are common issues, and we think we're getting over by using these unproven techniques to get kids to stop being picky eaters. It makes the children react just the opposite. We'll talk about that. When we come back, you're listening to This Week in America. Our guest is Susan Smith-Jones, PhD, and we're back right after these messages. Welcome back. This Week in America, our guest today, Susan Smith-Jones, PhD, the topic, parenting tips to make your life easier, building kids' self-esteem, and dealing with picky eating. We're now on to dealing with picky eating. And I mentioned before, we make some mistakes. And I'm looking down this list, and it's like, yeah, I can remember our kids were little. We probably did all of these a number of times. Let's talk about some of the common mistakes parents of picky eaters sometimes make so we can make really practical suggestions rather than going through and repeating these. What are some of the mistakes, and how do we get around them?
Yes. Now, this first one's a big one. I'll spend a teeny bit of extra time on it. And it's pressuring kids to eat and being way too serious about it. You see, as our sweet toddlers struggle to develop their sense of autonomy, they naturally become more selective in their food choices. And if they're pressured, their need for independence may lead them to resist eating altogether. And so kids are very intuitive, and when meals become stressful and tense, they can absolutely sense it, and they'll be less likely to try a new food when the atmosphere at the table is strained. So it's always good to offer choices when you can and let them be in charge of what they eat from their plate and how much of it that they consume. And to make mealtime more fun and inviting, I like to suggest to think more like a kid yourself and turn eating into a game. Here are some examples I've used with clients worldwide. Start a tradition where at the start of the meal, you pick a new food and for everyone to try, like a new food. Maybe it's kiwi, maybe it's pomegranate seeds, maybe it's kale, whatever. And every family member eats a small piece and rates it, or because then they love that. It's more like a game.
Oh,
or
yes.
Create a quest for your kids to try a bite of everything on their plates and find the food that's the, and this is good learning too, the crunchiest, the softest, or the sweetest. And then while you're at it, let them play with their food. There's no harm in dipping random things in ketchup, or I don't think there's any harm in blowing bubbles as they drink, as long as they're eating and they aren't being rude or making a huge mess.
Interesting. And throwing is probably something you would discourage at the dinner table with your food as well. That's a,
Yes, okay. Yes, if you can. Or else put, keep your little portable vacuum handy in the corner of the kitchen.
You might need that there. You talk about pleading, threatening, or bribing. This is interesting. So SeaWorld for asparagus probably is a bad idea.
Yeah, probably. But you never want to plead, threaten, or bribe. Science has shown that when parents resort to threats, scolding, punishment, pleading, bribing, or coercing, their kids end up eating less food and not more. So telling your toddler that they can have ice cream if they eat their broccoli might work in the short term, but it can eventually backfire. And so I it's funny how my grandmother taught me a lot of this as a teen, when I was a teenager. And she helped me go from having a complete junk food diet to eating healthier foods. And I'm not a fan of using food as rewards or bribes because it elevates food to an overly desirable status, which can lead to an unhealthy fixation on food rewards, typically dessert type or sweet foods. And never force your kids to finish everything on the plate like my mom used to do as a kid because, what, the kids in China didn't have enough food.
Exactly.
Yeah, because the portions may be too large for their little tummies, and they'll sometimes circle back to eat more a little bit later. And then next, don't label your kid as picky. Because the more you talk about your child being a picky eater, the pickier they might become, as labels can reinforce the behavior. I'm always into behavior modification. We don't want any self-fulfilling prophecies. And then another one, this is what a lot of parents do all over the world. They become a short order cook.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and that means whipping up something new for your picky kid who's just refused to eat dinner is a surefire way to prolong pickiness because it teaches kids that there's always something different available. So instead, this is so good, Rick, and it works. Try including safe foods with foods you aren't sure about to ensure your child will always have something to eat. For example, let's say you're serving lasagna and a salad for dinner, and you're unsure whether your child will eat this meal. Well, you can also include something like peanut butter whole grain toast, you know, toast with some almond or peanut butter on it, which you know your child will consistently enjoy. That way, you know, you don't have to become a short-order cook, and you know your child will get something to eat.
Great ideas. And all of this, and again, so much more on Dr. Susan's website. All sorts of tips there. It's a treasure chest of health information. Dr. Susan's website is very simple, SusanSmithJones.com. Follow her on Twitter, now X at Susan Smith Jones, and all this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. What about in introducing new foods? And we may put it out for a meal or two, they don't like it, and we give up on it. How do we handle that?
Yeah, that's a good one, Rick. Thanks. It can take dozens, literally, dozens of exposures to a new food before your child decides they like it. And although it may be frustrating and sometimes wasteful, these repeated exposures can bring your child one step closer to the food acceptance. So let's just take apples, for example. If you start off apples, try varying how you introduce a new food. For example, you could offer apples in slices. They could be shredded. They could be cubed on a skewer with cheese, or maybe like with a strawberry or a raspberry or a blueberry. They could be thinly sliced to make a nut butter sandwich with two slices of apple with a nut butter in between. You could try applesauce. You could bake an apple with cinnamon. In other words, you're giving them lots of exposure to one food, but different ways to create it. And if after all of these exposures, your child continues to reject the food, maybe it's reasonable to conclude they just don't like it. But that said, it could be worth revisiting in the future.
Such great information. And again, you'll find all of this on the website in Susan's books. And we'll talk about the two new ones coming up here in a few minutes. Let's talk about snacks and drinks. Sometimes you figure that maybe they're not that hungry because we just had I let them have a snack a half hour ago.
So I love that you asked that, because here's a simple solution that sometimes parents and caretakers don't think about. You don't want to give them too many snacks and drinks, especially when you want to introduce a new food, because offering a new food to a child whose tummy is full of juice or milk or smoothie or a snack isn't likely to be successful. And a hungry child will be more open to new taste and textures. So try only to serve snacks midway between meals. Don't serve snacks right before a meal where you want to introduce a new food. And be prepared to stand your ground through about 100 more snack requests until the next meal. So remember, have your child have an empty tummy when you want to introduce a new food.
What happens, and I love this, when not eating the food yourself, you want to introduce Brussels sprouts, but you don't have any on your plate. How do you go about doing that? Uh-huh. Asking somebody to eat something, yeah, and they go, but Dad, I don't see any on your plate. How do you handle that?
Yes, exactly. Well, remember, not eating the food yourself isn't effective behavior modification strategy. Kids like to copy others, so take this opportunity to be the best role model for how they develop food preferences and eating habits. You know it can be hard to pull off all the time, but when you serve your little one a meal, try to serve one yourself, too, because eating together and enjoying time as a family can take attention off the task at hand and help your kids eat better and maybe more adventurously. So remember that. And I'm also going to mention there's a supplement I've taken for about 20 years, and I have nothing to do with the company, but I've discovered that not only is it good for adults, but kids love it. And it's called Blue Magic, Blue, and then M-A-J-I-K. And you can go to my website, and in the search bar, put Blue Magic. It's a very potent antioxidant superfood called phycocyanin. You and I have talked about it before.
Oh, yes.
But it's been studied in hundreds of studies around the world, and it boosts immunity, it keeps your body healthy, it is a world-class antioxidant, it gives you energy, it helps you sleep better, and I have it in both a powder and a capsule form. Usually I take the powder form every day, and I always have capsules, so if I'm traveling, that's a little bit easier. But here's the beautiful thing about it, besides being so nutritious, is it's the most beautiful cyan teal color you've ever seen. Mm. So if you had a glass of water and you put like an eighth of a teaspoon of Blue Magic in the water and stir it up, you'll be amazed at the color. I often use it in different foods I'm making to make, because I like dips and sauces and salad dressings, but even a dip to make it like a violet, purple, bluish, green color. And kids love it because they're fascinated with the color of this Blue Magic. So go to SusanSmithJones.com. And in the search bar, put BLUE, second word is MAJIK. It's just a way to make eating more fun for the kids, but it will also benefit your body and all the children's bodies.
Great discussion today. Our guest is Susan Smith Jones, PhD. The topic, parenting tips to make your life easier, building kids' self-esteem, and dealing with picky eaters. Of course, more information on Dr. Susan's website. While you're there, information on all of her books, including the two new ones. I've mentioned this several times so far, Susan. Talk a little bit about the latest two new books, why they're essential reading for everybody.
Yes, well, Uplifted, and I know it has a lot of descriptive words, 12 Minutes to More Joy, Faith, Peace, Kindness, and Vitality. That is so much about mental, emotional, spiritual health, and very practical on what you could do every day in fewer than 12 minutes to make a profound difference in your life. And then that was designed, that book, to go with the more physical health book, A Hug and a Mug, but it's more than just what you put in a mug, so I had to use all these descriptive words. It's A Hug and a Mug, revitalized with fruits, veggies, juices, soups, spices, teas, and healthy living extras. So it's part holistic health and lifestyle book. It's about 325 or 30 pages. So it's part holistic health and lifestyle book. It's part recipe book. So many recipes I've taught people for decades in America and beyond, the most delicious soup recipes and things, how to make fruit better and juices and the history. You'll love this, the history of spices and how you can use every food that you eat for whatever is ailing you, whatever disease or illness you have. There's a good food, a superfood, that will help that. So let's say you're having tummy problems, digestive problems, maybe an earache or gallstones or kidney stones or whatever, diabetes, cancer, whatever is going on. There are multiple sections on what foods to eat and not eat, so that you can completely heal your body. And then some of the healthy living extras include the exercise, stress management, why we want to pray and meditate every day and do our deep breathing. How about time in nature? You and I have talked about that a lot.
Yes.
Sleep, the importance of gratitude and kindness. So it's all in A Hug and a Mug. And then, of course, I have a wonderful trilogy series for young children with good values to teach kids how to get the most out of life and have a joyful, happy life. It's about a little girl, Joy, who meets this magical butterfly who eventually they become besties. and the butterfly can talk to Joy, and Joy can talk to the butterfly, along with this secret garden and all the creatures in the secret garden, because Joy and her family have just moved from the stressful, bustling city to a farm. And Joy and her five siblings and her parents and aunt and uncle and the other six kids that live in another farmhouse on the property, it's an amazing adventure of Joy and what she learns from this beautiful, magical butterfly whose name is Violet. And if you want some positive reading for your kids, check out, and you can go onto my website and go under books and scroll down to Joy and the Butterfly, and then you can read more about it there. You can read, you can get, see the reviews on A Hug and a Mug, the reviews on Uplifted, and I'll you'll just find out more about the books, how to get them, how to get autographed copies, and make sure you sign up for my Twitter at, my Twitter, I guess we say X now, right?
I still say Twitter.
Yeah, I like that better. At Susan Smith Jones, and then my monthly free healthy living newsletters that come to you just once a month, and you get lots of powerful, life-enriching, wonderful health information. You'll get recipes there, and there's enough material to last you for about a month. It's not like one little page. So you'll come back to it as time permits.
And you will find you want to save it. And maybe 4 or 5 months from now, something you're reading and you're thinking, Dr. Susan talked about that. And you go back in your safe folder and you'll find the information there you're looking for. A wealth of information free on Dr. Susan's website. It takes literally less than 10 seconds to sign up. Information there on all of the books we talked about, the book for the young people as well, a charming series, and I'm looking forward to having a chance to talk about that on the program sometime. And you can, of course, buy the books wherever books are sold, or on Dr. Susan's website, and information there on how to get each book autographed and signed personally by Dr. Susan. So a lot of great information there.
Thanks so much. Yes, and I think it's really important to get children as young as possible into reading books.
Yes.
And I believe that you don't ever want to give a book to a child to read that you wouldn't enjoy reading yourself. So that was my goal with the Joy and the Butterfly series, to make these books inspire and motivate and empower not only young children, but also the adults and anybody else that might be reading the books to them.
So you as a parent may want to, like, make your child sit and listen as you read the book to them rather than just give it to them and let them read it. You want to read it. You want to share in that experience and all of the information available. Very simple. SusanSmithJones.com. Susan Smith Jones, PhD, our guest on the program. The topic today has been parenting tips to make your life easier. Dr. Susan, always a pleasure. Looking forward to next month. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you. I do, too. And everyone, go out and celebrate life today.
Great way to leave the program, go out, celebrate life, enjoy life. And thank you for listening to the program, Dr. Susan. Thank you for being with us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.